Amen. Y'all ready to wage war? Y'all ready to do battle? All right. Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us authority. You have given us dominion over this whole earth and everything in it. And because of that, Father, we take our authority against these incoming attacks upon the local fellowship and the outreach. In the name of Jesus, we bind you, Satan, right now in the name of Jesus. And we command you by the power and authority of the blood of Jesus to cease your activities against this body of believers now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that you're sending out your angels right now to bind them up, casting them out of here in Jesus' name. We know, Lord, that you have told us in your word in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19 that you've given us authority over all the power of the enemy. He's the enemy. These attacks against us will cease this moment in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that everybody here that's listening is doing the same thing. They're praying in the spirit. They've repented from any kind of sin so that we can do this warfare without any hiccups. And we praise you, Father, that we put on the battle gear of our prayers. And the enemy has lost the battle before it's ever begun. And we praise you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, anybody else want to pray? I'll tell you what, we've come under attack here, and I know that some of y'all have too. Anna had a dream about the faction getting together, coming against even the outreach. And so we're doing battle tonight for a little while, because I already know we won, didn't we? We've already won the battle. So, Father, we just thank you so much that you're hearing our prayers tonight from this wonderful group of brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we ask and we pray that you anoint Rion tonight also as he shares the message that you've given him, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. All right. Does anybody else want to pray?
Sure, my brother.
Yeah, go ahead, will you?
All right. In the mighty name of Jesus, we declare and demand that every work of darkness be under our feet and shushed. Your power has been relinquished. It's finished. In the mighty name of Jesus, any and all factious spirits, any and all tormenting spirits, any and all spirits of division, any and all spirits of worldliness, your power has been broken. Period. We declare this in the wondrous and all conquering name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, Missy.
When I was praying earlier, it came to me to pray against pharmakia, witchcraft. Bind up this principality. Our wrestling is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. Come against this principality and bind it up and forbid it to operate across this whole entire earth. In the name of Jesus, we forbid, Lord, we send forth your angels to put in chains this principality, this spirit of pharmakia and witchcraft across this whole earth and all his minions underneath him. We bind up all the power of the enemy in the name of Jesus across this earth. It will no longer deceive, manipulate, control the people and lie to them in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare the whole lie of COVID and the vaccines and all manipulation and lying and all witchcraft sent and curses upon the saints in the name of Jesus. We command the scales, the lies, the deceptions off the ears, off the eyes, the ears to be opened in the name of Jesus. Lord, we command your angels to send to go forth and cause your people to hear the truth of the lies and the deception they've been under, that they repent, Lord, that they repent, that the truth of what's been going on come out in the name of Jesus, and they no longer be deceived, that they know their authority. Bring them into the knowledge of the truth, that they know their authority, that they repent, Lord, and that they trust in you to be their savior once and for all, Lord, your elect, Lord. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that the enemy is defeated, that we are victorious. We triumph in your victory, Lord. The battle is yours, Lord. And we go before, and we praise you and we thank you. You're our mighty God, our refuge, our strength, Lord. There is no God but you, Lord. You're the author and perfecter of our faith. And with the faith that you've given us, we declare and decree the enemy is defeated. The enemy can no longer do anything to thwart what your plan is, Lord. You work all things after the counsel of your will, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that your people are woken up, Lord, that your people are woken up and repentant, Lord. We praise your mighty name. Praise you, Jesus, and we thank you. Amen.
Amen. All right, go ahead, Julie.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm reading from Psalm. Well, I'm starting in 47. I'm going to just read some verses here. 47. Clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is terrible, a great king over all the earth. He subdues peoples under us and nations under our feet. He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the peoples gather as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. And God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we shall not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of our God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God will help her right early. The nations rage and the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. Hallelujah. And the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. Hallelujah, Lord. You sit enthroned upon your throne of Lord. Your throne is established in righteousness and in justice. And we give you highest praises, Lord, for who you are and what you have already done and accomplished, Father. And the Lord is God. He is one. And we bless your name, Father. We bless you and praise you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the victory we have in Christ Jesus, that your name is powerful. Your word is powerful. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us great victories. With the right arm of the Lord, we shall do valiantly. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for you are our Lord and our master. You are our great King. We bless you and praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. For y'all that came in late, we're waging war against the people that are the demons that are waging war against this fellowship locally and on the outreach. We've got many words just in the last couple of days that the factions have joined forces and they're coming against us. So that's what we're doing. We're warring against the enemy. Go ahead, Pat.
Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have raised up these factions even for this time, Lord, to purify the saints. Lord, we thank you that even in the example of Job, you taunted the devil and you deceived him to bring him against your people. And you did so for a perfect reason, Lord. You wanted to expose and strengthen and mature and bring through into Job's understanding a new perspective of you, and to clear out the cobwebs, clear out the any places where the devil might have some sort of influence in his life. And Lord, you weeded it out and you used the devil to do it. So Lord, we thank you that you use all the tools in your tool belt to build your kingdom. And we just praise you for it, Lord. We see that we refuse not you that speak from the heavens. For if they escape not when they refused him that warned on the earth, how much more shall we shall not we escape who turn away from him that warned from heaven? Lord, we thank you that you have given us a sensitivity to hear your voice, Lord. You said that my sheep hear my voice, and you peeled us out of all those that claim your name, that call upon you, that you have placed a calling in, that have heard your call and turned to you, Lord. You have given them the ability to hear your voice, and your voice they will hear and not follow another. And so we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that in these last days that you are shaking the earth around us, as in Hebrews 12. You're shaking the earth around us so that those fears that may arise in our heart, that may come up in our heart and expose any kind of activity or any kind of foothold or stronghold or manipulation point or thought or unbelief or anything, Lord, you're bringing it to light for your good purposes, Lord. For we hold upon your word, Lord. Your word said that you purchased us by your blood and delivered us out of this kingdom of darkness and translated us into your kingdom, cannot be touched, except it go through your hand for your purifying purposes, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that even though you put us through the fire, you put us through the fire many times simply just to burn off the dross and to strengthen our focus upon your word. Lord, we hold upon your word, just like we spoke about the other night, Lord, that you have willed your word to triumph through us. And so we praise you and thank you, Father, for your perfect work in us, even using these forces against us for your glory, to bring forth Jesus within us. And we praise you for it, Lord. We praise you for the good work. We thank you that even though these that come against us are ignorant of these things, Lord, and they don't believe them, but you use them nevertheless, Lord. You bring forth your product of your life in your word, your strength. We praise you that we can anchor down and hold on to your word that does not shake, and let the rest shake. Let that be exposed and let it be cast off by our confession. And we just praise you, Father. We thank you for the work that you're doing in us. We just trust you for leading us and guiding us. And that, Lord, you use all of the wrath of man against us, and you restrain just what is necessary and push it out, and then you remove it when it has done its perfect work, Lord. So we thank you, Father. We stand in your grace. By your grace, we were saved. Not of ourselves, but it is your gift to us. And we praise you, Lord. We praise you for your strength. We praise you for your word. And we love you, Lord. And we thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pat. Anybody else ready to go to war against these evil demons? Yes, Carol, go ahead.
Father, I want to thank you that with the enemy, as he heightens the pressure of fear and attacks on your children, I thank you that what he intends for evil, it's really because he's terrified, because he sees how stronger we are getting and that his time is limited. So my prayer specifically, with all the power of my brothers and sisters tonight, where you are sovereign, where you are magnificent, you are holy, you are wonderful, and you have this amazing plan, that you will use what the evil is doing for good. And the good that I'm praying for tonight, Father, is for your children to continue to be strengthened, not to be moved as the enemy throws bombs at your children to frighten them, instead of being frightened. As we have prayed tonight, we will not be moved, but we will be moved to pray for those that are weak right now, Lord. And we pray and we ask that you strengthen them not to give in to the lies and the bullying and the intimidation and the ridiculousness of what's going on right now. I pray that those that give in, you protect them, Lord. If they have to take some, God forbid that they have to take the injection, but I pray that you would give them the saline, the placebo, that you would protect. I am asking ahead of time, Lord, and I am claiming those that are weak right now for you. I claim them in the name of Jesus, and I thank you. You are hearing our prayers. You are releasing your angels over us. We are on fire, and we will not be cornered by the enemy. In fact, we are cornering the enemy right now, and we are attacking, and we're going after all those people that need to be saved tonight. Lord, release your angels, release your saints, that we be on fire, and we claim those that have yet to come into the kingdom, your kingdom. There is no other way. There is no other name, the name of Jesus. And we are not sitting on a fence. We are not lukewarm. We are pressing in, and we're pushing up into the heavenlies, and we're bringing our family members, Lord, that do not know you. We are bringing them with us. We are claiming them in the name of Jesus. And we say, devil, not on our watch. We bind you, we gag you, and we are not going to be polite. We cut your head off and we cast you back to the pit of hell. We say, get off of the children of the Most High God. And we claim those that are yet to come into the kingdom. And there are many, Lord. There are many. And I thank you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Amen.
Amen. Praise you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. We're looking for the victory, Lord. Anybody else?
Me.
Yes, Greg, go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right, Lord, bless you, bless your name. And thank you for access to it. To the enemy, hear the hearts and the minds. Lord, I want you to articulate this, the praise to the living God. Make them hear. Make them hear. And let, Lord, that terror be upon them, that drives them through, you know, dark places with your pursuit, be very much in their to the fore of their minds. Lord, for those who are working with the occult to scheme against you and your people, Lord, that same terror to be upon them with the knowledge that they can turn to the name of the living God. And this is what I do pray for them. But Lord, make it clear that this is their only out, as it has been for all of us, so that all will know that your name is high and above everything else. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Yes, Father. We get the victory because we're standing on what the word says and not what we see with our eyes or hear with our ears. We thank you, Lord, that the victory is ours. Glory. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Yes, go ahead, Marilyn. I'll get right to you, Pat.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I just thank you that we have an open heaven here tonight. Praise the Lord. And we come running up to the throne of grace. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you and praise you that we cast all our cares upon you because you care for us. We cast our burdens to you and you sustain us and you will not suffer the righteous to be moved. I thank you and praise you that we have the name of the Lord, the nature, character, and authority of the Lord Jesus. And it is a strong tower. And the righteous run into it and they are saved. And Father, we are running into that tower even right now. And Father, I just thank you and praise you. The words there, draw us unto you and let us run together. And we will rejoice in you and be glad. Father, I just thank you and praise you that none of these weapons formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that rises in judgment against us, I condemn, because this is the inheritance of the servants of God, because you are our righteousness, Lord. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I cast down these attacks against this body, individually and corporately. I cast down the attacks against our spirit man, against our souls, and the ability to bear forth the fruit of the life of Christ in our soul and our bodies. All these attacks against our physical bodies, I cast them down and command that they are null and void in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus has given me authority over all serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise harm me. We trample upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon, we trample underfoot, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. submit thyself unto the Lord, resist the enemy, and he will flee from you. And I'm commanding the enemy to flee. You are in full retreat right now in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. I cast down all the attacks of witchcraft, faction, the spells, the curses, the enchantments, the potions, their mutterings, their mantras, their prayers of darkness, incense of darkness. I cast down all the assignments of the psychic, the occultic, the divining, and the medium spirits. There's no snooping or spying on us. Our lives are hid in God. Our lives are hid in Christ of God. Jesus, you, and I command this in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus, you are our hiding place. And praise God, you compass us with songs of deliverance. We have all these beautiful songs of deliverance in the Word to strengthen us, to feed us, to encourage us, to give us wisdom in the battle. And Father, I just thank you and praise you. I thank you and praise you. You are our sun and our shield. Father, you give us grace and glory. And you will withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly before you. You, O Lord, are a shield around us. You are our glory and the lifter of our head. And you are always, when you lift our head up, you're saying, look up and be watchful, for thy redemption draweth nigh. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. Father, I just thank you and praise you. Nothing is hidden from you. You see all of this. And I love that verse that says you take the wicked and you just turn them upside down. So, Father, I'm just thanking you and praising you for what you're doing even tonight. And that all these demonic assignments are loosed. They are loosed in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. The things that have been hindering us in our walk and our faith, they are all loosed in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you and praise you, Father, for the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. I thank you for the work you're doing in us. You cleanse and sanctify us by the washing of water, by thy word. Lord, you refine us not as silver were chosen in the furnace of affliction. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord God delivereth him out of them all. And so praise God. Jesus, you are our strong deliverer, and you have delivered us from every snare of the fowler. So we just thank you and praise you. I thank you, Lord, that the spiritual air, the heavenlies above us are cleared from all this darkness, all this oppression. I just thank you and praise you that it's gone. And I thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Michael talking?
Michael, you're muted.
That's all right. I'm still praying. Oh, mercy to Nikita. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Marilyn. I believe everything she prayed is coming to pass, and everything everybody else prayed is coming to pass. Just a word of encouragement. This afternoon, Angelica said that she was praying in the spirit. In fact, the Lord said, we've been praying this afternoon, Ward, here at the local, I felt the Lord said, I am rising up from my throne and will fight for my children. Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All we got to do is get him out there, and he's doing it. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Pat, go ahead, brother.
Father, I just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing within us, Lord, and you're present here in our lives, in our spirits. We thank you for your goodness tonight as you bring forth prayers to your throne, Lord. And Father, I ask that you would forgive these accusers, these that are deceived by this factious spirit, that you would forgive them, for they truly do not know what they're doing. If they had any concept whatsoever that they were coming against the true God, Lord, if their mind was right, they would repent. Father, would you just send your spirit to turn them for your honor and glory. Lord, I send a spirit of doubt into their hearts right now to shake even those strong ones that oppose us, to send that sword of doubt as to where they're standing and how they're standing and who they're supporting, if they're really serving God in their mind. If you would just, Lord, I pray for that doubt to destabilize each and every one of them and to penetrate their heart and bring forth insecurity and unstableness. Let that shaking that they are trying to impose upon us, let that shaking come back within them and shake them to the foundation, Lord, that some may be saved through that process. We thank you, Lord, that even the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, Lord, you finally took him out on the road of Damascus and shattered his illusions with the blinding light of Jesus. So it is not impossible. You do it with ease, and we thank you for that. So we just trust you, Lord, for your gospel, even shattering the opposition against you, for your honor and for your glory, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Malcolm. Get right to you, Judith.
Lord, I just pray, Lord, for your mercy on these folks. Lord, you can turn hearts. You can grant repentance. And I'm asking you for stepping in and granting repentance. And their hearts are in your hands, Lord. I thank you for your mercy. The whole psalm says, "For your mercy endureth forever." I'd like to read Psalms 43, a little bit of it here, or most of it actually. Starting with verse 3, O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead us. I'm changing a little bit to apply it to us here. And also I pray that let them lead light and truth. Let it lead these other folks, Lord, instead of what's going on. Let them bring me, or bring them and us, into thy holy hill, into thy tabernacles. Then will we go to the altar of God, unto God our exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will we praise thee, O God, our God. Lord, when you shine your face, that's what's all through the Psalms, is the shining of your face. when you shine your face, major things happen. And I pray you do that right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Malcolm. Go ahead, Julie.
Praise you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, Father. In the name of Jesus, I cast down all the works and activities of the enemy that would get your people, all of your elect, Lord, distracted by the things that they are firing at us in our minds and our bodies and our homes. I cast down all spirits of distractions of complacency and apathy and lukewarmness, confusion, fogginess, tiredness, fatigue, heaviness, weariness, depression, sadness, emptiness, loneliness, despairing, hopelessness, and all the like spirits that would bring us down, anxiety and fear and worry and stress, and all the stuff that they are spraying in the all this, the warfare, the weather warfare that's going on, the poisons they are putting in the air. We cast all that down and command it to be null and void, that we breathe in only clean, pure air into our bodies, fresh air. We thank you, Lord, that we are covered with the blood of the Lamb. We are strengthened by your Holy Spirit and the Word of God and the truth, that we are girded up in truth, Lord, and you make us to stand. Father, I thank you, Lord, for girding us all up every day and getting us all dressed up in your word, your armor, which is mighty. And we are covered from head to toe, and we are covering each other in prayer, that the first thing we have in our minds when we wake up is Jesus. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. Hallelujah. And Lord, that our focus be on you and what you have called us to do each and every day, whether it's tending to loved ones and families, or going to work, or intercessory prayer, or whatever it is that you've given us to do every day, Lord, that we do it with joy, that we do it with great joy and gladness in serving you, Lord, and serving one another. And it's all for your glory. It's all for your kingdom. Help us, Lord, to keep that heavenly perspective. Help us, Father, to not be moved by the things that the enemy throws at us, because it's only strengthening us to be more like Jesus. And our flesh dies every day as we don't give into that carnal thinking and reasoning or emotions or anything that the enemy is using against us. And I thank you, Lord, that we already have the victory, that our enemy is defeated, and that you move mountains for us, Lord. And all you ask us is to believe and do not doubt in our hearts, and that what we say it will come to pass. And it's written in your word. And I thank you, Lord, for the power of your word that's in each and every one of us, and the voice of your word that comes out of our mouths into the spirit realm, and what you're doing and what you're creating and what you're perfecting in each and every one of us, Father. Hallelujah. We bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Julie. Go ahead, Carol.
Amen. Oh, Heavenly Father, wow. Watch out, please. Give me 1 second, people. Oh, all-consuming fire, you're our heart's desire. Living flame of love, come baptize us. Living flame of love, come bless us now. With your courage, Lord, with your strength, Lord, with your humility, with your grace, Lord, with your love, Lord, and with your eternal joy. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. That is you, God, because of you. Rejoice. Father, give us that heart. And thank you. I see it on my brothers and sisters tonight. I ask for a super injection. Let's go for the injection of God's love. Hallelujah. Let's go for the injection of his fire tonight, of his joy, of his boldness. that we can rejoice and be glad, because great is our reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before us. So I thank you, Father. Thank you. Bless us. You baptize us with your holy fire, your holy boldness, and your holy love. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Taka shaka toka taka pashaka.
All right. Anyone else?
Infuse my brother. And I, you know. Guys, are you guys still there? Did I mute myself? Yeah. Noah. No, sorry. Oh my God.
We can hear everything you say.
Okay. Well, Michael, I didn't. I'm sorry. I have to
praise the Lord. You didn't say nothing bad.
Oh, I wouldn't. I have only good in my heart today. Hallelujah. I'm on fire. I want to pray for you, Michael. I want to pray. Is that okay? Can I please pray for you people?
Of course. Yeah.
Okay, I want to see that holy oil, that lube, beautiful warm oil in his throat, Father, lubricate his throat, vocal cords, his inside, and just cover his entire body with your holy oil and water and love. And thank you. He is filled with love, but we're going to attack his body with the love of God right now, with the holiness of God. And we just say, body, refuse the enemy. And we shoot it out right now. And body, receive the love and the holiness. Holy hallelujah. Oh, I'm going on. Go, body of Christ in our brother. Arise right now and take hold of every cell of his body and resurrect his throat, Father, that he can make speak as you want him to speak and to be quiet when he wants to be quiet, because you want him to be quiet. But right now, I know you want his throat to be holy, beautiful, pure, and clear and healed. Lala shana kota kana shapa tekena kishakota ta kola shata ta ta, and the peace of God covers him. And I thank you, Father. I thank you. His throat is lubricated. It's healed. It's resurrected. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to mute now, just in case I take off again.
Okay. All right. I'm trying to get Johnny Cash in for us. That's what I'm going to do. Go ahead, Julie. Thank you, Carol.
I was lifting up holy hands of praise is what I was doing. But amen. I'm just in agreement that you're healed. That voice is sounding better than it ever has. Praise Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. I walked 16 times. What do you get? All right, come on. Go ahead, Missy.
I'm going to read out of Psalm 149, starting verse 6. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. We praise you, Lord. We glorify you. We lift you up. We lift your name on high. And we have a two-edged sword in our hand, Lord. And we are putting the enemy to shame. We scatter the enemy. We send confusion in the camp of the enemy. We scatter them in the mighty name of Jesus. The enemy is under our feet. You subjected all things under the Lord's feet, Father, and we're his body, and the enemy is under our feet too, in Jesus' name. To execute vengeance upon the nations and punishments upon the peoples. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. We do this in the mighty name of Jesus, in the power that you've given us. We bind up the kings and nobles with fetters of iron. Your iron, Lord. By the strength of your word, Lord, they are defeated and they are bound that are contrary to your will, Lord, in Jesus' name. We execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all the saints. Praise you, the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for putting the enemy to shame. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
What was that from, Missy? I hadn't perfected my lip reading yet.
She said 149, right, my, 149. Right, Missy?
Okay. Okay, thank you. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Nick.
Yeah, we're actually up north right now, and I got to work tomorrow, so I got to come home tomorrow early morning. And it's like a 3-hour drive.
Well, bless your heart. Lord, would you, you want to go ahead and pray, and we'll believe with you.
Yeah. Heavenly Father, just please give us a safe trip home, and in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, let it be rested up, ready to go to work. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Go ahead, Ozzy.
Yeah, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes. Yes, brother.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Hey, would y'all say a prayer for me? Yeah, I woke up this morning, had a, I'm feeling these symptoms of like a sore throat, whatnot. And it's kind of been, I've just been rebuking it and not believing it. Also for Morgan as well, because they said that all of his coworkers got taken out for COVID. He said he was feeling something, but, he seems pretty good. And we just been not believing that report. You've seen us together, today, because the plan was them coming over today anyways. And we weren't going to, put our faith in COVID and say, oh, no, let's just be safe. So just pray for us, too, because, sitting here in the ministry, I've been feeling, I'm feeling like this lightheadedness. And just pray. But before I do that, I want to make sure I get my healing. So I want to confess my sin. I'll just tell y'all real quick. Yesterday, I got a call from my coworkers, and one of the leads for this next project, I'm helping them out, and we were talking about the last project in Detroit, and the same things I told you guys, how I was kind of being persecuted. I just kind of told him the same thing. I said, hey, they just really weren't, I really wasn't in with the in crowd, and there's a lot of favoritism, and I went on just talk about it, and that's gossip. It is. We'll just call it what it is. It is, and it's no wonder I would wake up in the morning and have a sore throat, from spewing stuff out like that. And one, I want to confess it. I know the Lord's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. And y'all just we're gonna believe right now that I am delivered and healed. And that these afflictions are gone. And, that's that. So if y'all would pray for me, I would really appreciate it.
Amen. Lord, we thank you right now that Isaac is free from that chemtrail crud or whatever it is. It makes no difference. You have to go. You spirit of infirmity, you leave his body right now. And everybody in his family be healed. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. He is whole, delivered, and set free once more. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I believe it, Lord of God. It is done. All right, Geneva.
Yeah, I just wanted to go off of that with Isaac. Me and Morgan have been praying all day and just rebuking it in Jesus' name. And anyways, thank you, Lord, that Morgan's healed. Thank you that Isaac's healed, that, Father, we are not under the curse, Lord, and that Jesus, you, Father, have redeemed us at the cross, Lord, and that the cross was enough, God. And Jesus, I just thank you for your mercy and for your grace over our life. And I thank you, Father, that whatever this is in the air, Lord, whatever this is on other people around us, that, Father, imagination through faith, Lord, that we have just a beautiful veil around us, Lord, that is just protecting us from anything, God, that is all over the place right now, Father. I just thank you, Lord, that your children are protected. And, Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Also want to say that this was kind of awesome. Well, not kind of. It definitely was awesome. Today, while me and Morgan were praying, while he was working, and he was, you know, fighting that spirit, and he looked on his dashboard in his, because he works for Amazon, and so he does deliveries, and he was looking at his van, and on his dashboard, there was a post-it note, and on the post-it note, it said John 11, which I thought was crazy. And he goes, you're not going to believe this. He goes, I just found a random post-it note in my van with the scripture, John 11. And that's the one that talks about Lazarus. And I'm sorry, I don't have it memorized, but basically it said that this, it says this sickness will not overtake you. It will not bring you to death. And it said that this is for God's glory. And, anyways, I just started praising the Lord, and I was like, man, Morgan, I was like, that was Jesus. You know, like, how crazy is that? We find a post-it note with a scripture on it after praying and whatnot. And that's all it was. All it said on the post-it note was John 11. And so Morgan took a picture of it, and we've just been thanking the Lord. And I just thank the Father for his protection over his children.
Amen. A note from God. That's awesome. That is so awesome. Thank you, Lord. I just pray the blood of Jesus over everybody here listening and who are here in this fellowship right now, and those that will be listening, in the name of Jesus, that no attack from the enemy would penetrate. In the name of Jesus, we praise you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Claire.
Michael, just before you said that, like just before, while Geneva was still talking, I had a vision of the Lord bringing a big red blanket over every one of us, just a really thick red blanket. So that blood is applied. I believe it.
Well, I couldn't get it unmuted. Amen. Yes, Lord. We believe, Lord. We believe, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Ooh, man, I could get up and dance a jig because y'all would think I was crazy. Go ahead, Carol.
I'd love to see you dance. That'd be great. So I want to add a praise to everything that we've all been going through. We prayed, I think it was earlier this, I can't remember where we are this week, we're Thursday. Okay, so Tuesday we prayed for my sister. And you know what's really funny is she's been under severe attack, and she's the little, the youngest in my family that that once upon a time said, oh, I know Jesus is God. But ever since then, it goes in hiding again, right? So if I talk about Jesus, I just see a blank go through her, but God has been, and then I tend to want to shrink back from witnessing, right? So but the prayer and asking you guys for prayer, it's giving me the boldness to keep pressing through. So she's been under severe attack for her life this past week. Okay, she's been in the hospital a couple of times. Her heart has been going into tachycardiac arrest and a bunch of weird stuff, and she's young. And it's funny because I really felt God was saying, don't be afraid, but keep praying for her and keep asking for prayer. And then I prayed with another sister yesterday, a sister in the Lord, and we were praying that she would remember the name of Jesus. So when I texted her today to get a checkup, a follow-up on her, she said she's doing better. And then I felt like I was going to shrink back again. And the Lord's like, press in and ask her. You know, have you been praying to Jesus? So I dare to say that, like, for risk of maybe not being able to talk to her again for a month, because I could sense there was tension. And she goes, that's the only name I said all day yesterday. And I went, all right, God, I better listen to you more often. You know. And he gives us that boldness, and she's resisting the shots also. Okay. So she's one of the rare. So that's a praise report. And because I was praying for her yesterday, right in the middle of my work schedule, such an attack on my lower body. I had, like, I thought my ovaries were going to explode out of my body. And I went down to the floor and I said, Jesus, I submit my body to you. And I know you love me. I take authority over this pain. I take authority over any fear that's trying to attack me. And I receive your love. And I kid you not, that pain instantly left. So I'm declaring that for all that have been asking for prayer for healing tonight. That is the courage and boldness we get when we come together. And I feel it when the enemy corners me, and the difference. That's why I had a hard time praying and being under control later. I'm so on fire. It's even hard for me to make a clear sentence right now. And I can feel God is helping me. So I don't go blah, 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 right ahead of you all right now. But that is what's happening. And then remember, when I spoke to you guys, three praise reports. Tuesday night, just before we ended the evening, I shared with you what the government of Quebec is threatening to do now, to tax those that are not vaccinated. Okay. Now suddenly I think something happened where they shifted and they realized, oh, we don't have the right to do that. But they did another strategy. They now are limiting us. We're not allowed as of January 24th to go in the large grocery stores that are considered commercial centers. So like Walmart, you know, all the places where you get discounts, Canadian Tire, and we can't go to Costco. So we're now not allowed. Instantly, when I saw that, Jesus said to me, laugh. And so I started to laugh. He's telling us, do not react. However, earlier when I was praying with you, what he gave me a heart for tonight, okay, it's not the government. You guys can pray for them and our enemies and bless them. I give you that task. But my task is for the weak ones. That's what I felt in my heart, is that, you know, I just looked at the news just before logging on with you tonight. And it said ever since they announced that, the percentage of people that had not been vaccinated went and got their first shots. Because now they're scaring them about not being able to get food. So those are the ones that I've been praying for. Anyway, so, but still, we need to keep resisting and stand strong and praise the Lord. So hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to mute myself again. Thank you.
Amen. All right. Greg, I don't want to cut too much into Rion's time here. So go ahead.
It's kind of a bit of a... Okay, I'll stop waffling. I just wanted to circle back to Isaac there and just pray, and I'll get out of the way. Lord, you already know the thoughts I've had before I even had them, so take those and run with them. Lord, I just wanted to ask you to bring the enemy before your throne and hear the declarations of the Lord. One, we have been given the authority to remit sins, as I mentioned last time we met, and we do. Two, the Lord promises to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So, and if you want to argue with scriptures, bring it up. Really, I dare you. Sorry. So if you think you have any right to come against this brother and his household and his throat and his body, and this applies to all of us, oh, please bring your reasons up, because we will bring the word of God against you. Now hear this. He sent his word to heal us and deliver us from all destruction. And we bless his soul, bless the Lord with our souls, who heals all our diseases. We bring to you the stripes of Jesus, which make us whole. Is there another price you want to exact? Is there another price? Then you ask the Lord before you. Because in his name, and we ask him to bring the host of angels against you to beat you down if you don't bow to his word and drive you out, so that these afflictions are gone from us. We do not belong to you. We are not yours. We are not subject to you. And you are not an equal enemy. You have been defeated. That's past tense. Now get out. Amen. Go, Rianne. Do your thing. Sorry.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Greg. Yes, he's defeated. Lord, we just ask that you anoint Rianne to share what you've given him, Lord. We praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Mr. Rianne.
I can listen to this all day long, these prayers. Are you sure, Michael? You don't want to change your mind?
Well, you go ahead. If we got any time afterwards, we'll finish up with
it. Okay, good. All right, good. Let me just get organized here. Well, all right. Hello, all you beautiful people. I have to start off by saying that I am extremely humbled by this. This little trap that Michael laid for all of us, because I didn't feel, I suppose, worthy to be able to share anything, and I'm not looking for a pick me up, but I'm not looking to be great in this world at all. You know, there's probably only a few righteous anointed men that really can teach, and I don't consider myself one of them. And the Bible also warns us that not many of us should be teachers. And this week I was humbly corrected as well, very lovingly but firmly, regarding a false doctrine I was mulling over in my heart. And I just said, oh man, how easily and quickly the devil can even use portions of scripture to deceive us. Just like he tempted Jesus in the wilderness, he threw Psalm 91 in his face, and how disgraceful that was to use the word of God like that, even against the Messiah. But Jesus gracefully responded with the sum of the word is the truth, right? And that no parts of scripture can be held higher to an higher account than any others. These scriptures are all God-breathed. They are all profitable for correction, instruction, and they cut both ways. And so do not consider myself to know the full sum of it. Now, George set a good standard there, and he started off with a song, but I'm not gonna sing. But I do want to start off with my favorite hymn that I'll read, and that's from Keith Green, and you actually spoke about him just the other day. And it goes like this. He says, "O Lord, you are beautiful, and your face is all I seek. For when your eyes are on this child, your love abounds to me. O Lord, my body's tired, but you keep reminding me of many holy, tireless men who spilled their blood for thee. I want to take your word. I want to shine it all around. But first help me just to live it, Lord. And if I'm doing well, help me to never seek a crown, for my reward is giving glory to you. O Lord, please light the fire that once burned bright and clear. Replace the lamp of my first love that's fueled with holy fear. I want to take your word. I want to shine it all around. But first help me just to live it, Lord. And if I'm doing good, please help me to never make a sound, except to give all the glory to you. O Lord, you are beautiful. Your face is all I seek. But when your eyes are on this child, your faith abounds to me." So Lord, thank you, Father, for your word. And thank you, Lord, for us getting together as the body of Christ. So I want to start off by saying that when George spoke last week, it was incredible, because the Lord was already putting on my heart what he wanted to share today. And it just fit in so beautifully. Claire and I were joking, saying, "Oh, what are you going to talk about?" You know, and some of you were saying, "Oh, you should chat about things that you got experience in, you know, or share that. And we want to learn from that." And I just go, "No, we can talk about deliverance. We can talk about faith healing. You can talk about," like Claire jokes, and bringing up the spreadsheet about the timeline of the crucifixion. But it's not us, right? It's John 14:26 says it's the Holy Spirit that Jesus asks. It says there's the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things, and it will bring to your remembrance all that I said unto you. So George used a analogy of preparing food. He said, but his work that he does, where they have a run a kitchen and they prepare food for people, and that's that image just of people coming out of apostasy and from others that are coming in for food, and we should be preparing spiritual food. We have to be in that clean kitchen under the leadership of Christ, Manchild, the head chef there. We must keep ourselves busy with the spiritual food, and this has to be done long before the people come, that you have to get that food ready. We have to prepare it. We have to be willing to serve the servants. People who are in hospitality and catering and things know what that's like, to stand on your feet a long time and serve. And then once it's the dirty, messy people come in, you've got to clean up their mess afterwards and repeat. And head back into the kitchen and prepare more food, prepare more spiritual food, just eating the word. But not like Martha. Not like Martha just running around. We should be preparing the food, is sitting at the feet of Christ and listening to his words. So the question then I said then is, are we able to endure? Can we endure? Are we able to overcome to the end? And the answer is no, we cannot. And I'll explain, because Revelation 2:26 says, he that overcometh and he that keep my works unto the end, to him will I give authority over the nations. So I'm saying no man or woman can overcome. No man or woman can endure to the end. And this is what I'm humbly learning. God will not be giving any of us authority, but he will, and he has given it to Jesus. Praise God. And therein is our only hope. If you think you're going to have authority over nations, you are deceived, because the flesh will not, only Christ. Because John 3:13 says, no one has ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. But luckily also says 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, because my power is made perfect in weakness. And most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So there's only about three teachers that I know that's worth following, maybe four. Three of them are fallible, and all of them were taught by the Holy Spirit. And I would put David Eales in that one. I would put Michael in there. I would put John G. Lake in there. And I don't have time to look at anybody else. And then I would put Jesus in there, because he's the only one that was not fallible. So I'll read a little piece from John G. Lake. Even though he is fallible, but he had very many Holy Spirit-inspired moments. And then also reference maybe a little bit of a summary of our very own beloved David, of whom I have not yet heard anything false over these many years. And I have no doubt he's led by the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. But first, the one who had no fault is the most important teacher of them all, and that's Jesus. And on that rock, we must be built. Luke 6:46 says, and why call you me Lord, Lord, and you do not the things which I say? Everyone that comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man who builds his house, who digged and went deep. He laid a foundation upon a rock, and when the flood arose, the stream broke against that house, and he could not shake it, because it had been well built. But he that hears and doesn't do it, he's like a man that built a house upon the earth without a foundation, against which the stream broke, straightway it fell in, and the ruin of that house was great. Ephesians 2 says, so then you are no more strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, who is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Christ Jesus himself is the chief cornerstone, in whom each several building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. So I did a bit of a look there of foundation and stones, etc. And I realized that, did you know that the first temple was built on the dimensions of both pride and redemption? Now I'm not a biblical scholar at all, yeah, so I'm open for correction. But you'll find the story of the temple in 1 Chronicles 17, but I'll just read a little bit there. And Edwin and myself this week had a very interesting discussion. I was so glad he brought it up because he was reading Chronicles, talking about the temple, and asked me the question. Well, this is what he was looking at, is did God actually tell them to build the temple? You know, was and did he actually tell Solomon to build the temple? So I'll read that quickly, but I'm not going to dwell too much in it because I want to get into to what John G. Lake says. That in 2 Chronicles 17, verse 7 says, it came to pass when David was dwelling in his house, his big, beautiful palace, right, that he built for himself, that he said to Nathan the prophet, lo, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord dwells under curtains. And then Nathan said to David, do all that's in your heart, because God is with you. But then it came to pass that same night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, and he said, go and tell David, my servant, thus says the Lord, you shall not build me a house to dwell in. I have not dwelt in a house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, but I have gone from a tent to a tent and from tabernacle to another. So the Lord said there that he's always been in temporary, movable structures. That's what he was always in. In all places wherein I have walked with all Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to be shepherd of my people? Did I say, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now, therefore, thus shall you say unto my servant David, thus says the Lord, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with thee wherever you have gone. I've cut off all your enemies from before you, and I will make you a name, like unto the name of the great ones that are in the earth. And I don't think he's talking there just about David's name, right? I think he's also talking there about Christ's name is going to come through him. I will appoint a place for my people Israel, I will plant them that may dwell in their own place and be moved no more. Neither shall children of wickedness waste them any more as at the first. And it's from the day that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and I will subdue all your enemies. And he says, but moreover, I tell you, the Lord will build you a house. So I think that's key there. That stood out for me. The Lord will build you a house. And then verse 11, it shall come to pass when your days are fulfilled that you must go to be with your fathers, which is a nice way of saying when you are dead, that I will set up your seed after you, who shall be of your sons. So one of his sons, right? Not necessarily Solomon, I believe. And I will establish his kingdom. Verse 12. He shall build me a house, and we assume then that he's talking there about Solomon, but it might not be. And I will establish his throne forever, which is probably a clue there, because Solomon's throne was not established forever, and he did not do which was right in the eyes of the Lord. But at the end, it says, I will be his father, and I will be, and he shall be my son, and I will not take my loving kindness away from him, as I took it from him that was before you, but I will settle him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever. Solomon's throne was not established forever, but Christ's throne is established forever. But God's house is not that temple. So according to all these words, all these visions, so did Nathan speak to David. Anyways, then 2 Chronicles 3 says, these are the foundations which Solomon then laid. So David got all the plans together and he gave it to Solomon to do. David seemed to struggle letting go, because he basically did all the work for him. And he said, here's the foundations that's laid for the building of the house of God. And I want to talk about foundations. The length by cubits after the first measure was 60 cubits, and the breadth 20. Now 60 is the number of pride, and 20 is the number of redemption. So Israel built the temple out of pride, but there was redemption hidden in there as well. It was hidden in the foundations of the first temple of both the fall and the redemption. Even in Psalm 11, David talks about the temple. And I thought about this. How can he talk in Psalm 11 about the temple? He says, the Lord is in his holy temple, verse 4, the Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. But David didn't build the temple, so which temple is he talking about there? He must be talking about some heavenly spiritual temple. So it is always the Lord's plan to abide in us, and to make his body the holy temple that he wants to live in. And for that, we need to come back to a foundation, a firm foundation. So I want to read out of John G. Lake, and I'll skip a couple of pieces there that might not be applicable, because otherwise I'll run out of time, because I've got quite a lot here. Right, this is what he says about building on a firm foundation. It says, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And he says, we are entitled to it, bless God. We are glad to see some of it, and we wish, bless God, that we might see a great deal more. And beloved, I have a splendid conviction in my heart that we will. I want to read some familiar verses as a basis of thought. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but who say you that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. That's why I started off by saying it's the Holy Spirit that teaches us. And I say also unto thee that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So those of us who are familiar with the scripture will remember that Peter is very careful to call attention to the fact that Jesus wasn't referring to him as the one upon which the church was to be built. He speaks in the second chapter of 1 Peter of how Jesus Christ is the great foundation, and he is established upon the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So he says, foundation laying is always a hard process. Over here in the East, with your solid ground, you're not so badly as some cities in the West, Chicago, for example. Chicago is built on a great quicksand bed, which is from 70 to 80 feet deep. After the Great Chicago Fire, the Board of Aldermen did a thing that nobody of men had ever dared to do till then. They passed an ordinance raising the grade of the city 16 feet. In sections of the city where the old buildings still stand, you go down a story and a half from the street level to the original street. It was a tremendous undertaking, but it got them everlastingly out of the mud. So sometimes a destructive process is good. The Chicago Fire became the great means by which the new and wonderful city came into existence. I want to talk to you today about foundation building. When I was a young man, I was a builder. I looked upon Chicago as the great mecca of all builders, so I got to Chicago as quick as I could. I looked around among various occupations, and I settled on this fact. There were two classes of men always in demand, the man who understood scientific foundation building and the man who understood scientific roofing. And I said, I will master these two things. In those days, they used to build 12-story skyscrapers, sometimes 14. Foundation building was not known as it is today. In those days, they went to the forest and brought great pilings, 70, 80, 90 feet long. These were driven into the ground until they touched bedrock. At the surface, these were cut off level and railroad iron laid on top. Then they commenced their stonework on top of the railroad iron, and after they got to the street level, it would probably be brick. He says, I lived long enough to see that these great buildings would get out of plumb, and it would be necessary for a civil engineer to go over the buildings every 3 months to see whether they were moving out of plumb one way or another. I was thinking of you, Pat, when I was doing this. I thought you would enjoy this. If they were great systems of jack screws, were used under the buildings to adjust them. It might surprise some of you to know that some of these great buildings in Chicago would literally stand on a system of jack screws, which are adjusted every 3 months by civil engineers. That was too much like hanging a city up in the air. So they said, we will drive great steel castings down to the rock, and then we will take out. So this is important, right? So they'll drive steel castings down to the rock. They will take out the earth and fill the castings with cement. So that system likewise passed away. Now what they do is they excavate all the way down to the bedrock, 4 or 5 stories if necessary. The quicksand, the mud is removed. The foundation is laid on the base rock. So for the Church of God and Christian faith to become strong and to be built up in God, it's necessary to get a good foundation. the greater problem with most builders to get the old rubbish out of the way than to do the actual building. If we look at our own lives, we will observe this, that the things that have been rooted and grounded in our hearts, some tradition of the fathers, some of it misconception of the meaning of the word of God, much of our teaching is fragmented, and these form the great obstacles to the ingrafting of the living word of God. Every one of us who have progressed in God have found that the difficulty was not in believing the word of God, but the difficulty was to get away from things that were settled in our being already as facts, even though they were untrue. How hardly have we struggled over the matter of it, of, for instance, if it be thy will concerning sickness. From our babyhood and all down through the generations, we have been taught that if you are sick, the proper thing to do is to pray, if it be thy will, forgetting all the time that the Lord has forever demonstrated and declared his eternal will concerning the subject of sickness by healing all that come to him. Well, bless God, some have succeeded in getting over that difficulty and put the subject, if it be thy will, behind their back and moved out where they believe the declaration of Jesus Christ. So it was that victory came on that line. And I count all of you in that same group. Now, dear ones, the thing that the Spirit of God is laying deeply upon my own heart these days is the need of a settled, established state in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the movement of the Spirit worldwide is to bring into unity the children of God who will raise a standard of the truth for the word. So God is moving in these days on a certain definite line. The man who has a settled, established faith in God has got that faith based on the eternal declarations of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is moving in harmony with the revealed plan of God as outlined for this hour in God's church plan. The difficulty with most individuals and teachers in times past has been that the revelation of the mind of God, as revealed in the Word, was limited to such a degree that they were compelled to take only a certain few of the great principles of the gospel. And thus their entire system was based on those few principles. But in these days, as the coming of the Lord approaches, and as the light of the Spirit has been given, God has revealed in a larger way, in a broader manner, the truth. So that in these days, it seems to me, it is the purpose of God that the church of the latter day, the church of Philadelphia, if you like, should be based upon the great broad basis of the eternal truth, as laid down in the New Testament by the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles, not only on fragmentary principles. In days past, it was thought necessary to endeavor to bind men's hearts and consciences to certain established truths that the church was ready to accept. And so these truths were usually embodied in the form of a creed. And they said, oh, this is all of the truth that we have to accept. This is our faith. So they locked it. They laid their bases and built a fence around themselves. And after a while, to the amazement of the church and to her discomfiture, it was discovered that their creeds have been the means that squeezed them in. And instead of being a foundation broad enough for the word of God, they are entangled inside their unyielding creed. And there's no room for expansion. There's a warning for us there as well. So when the dear Lord has wanted to give a revelation of progressive truth, this is the important bit as well here again. When the Lord wanted to give a revelation of truth to them, he has been compelled to go outside of the church fence and raise up a new body. That was because a fence had been built. A certain little enunciation of truth had been collected and the structure was established, and that instead of the entire word of God. We can see this. The individual who learns truth these days cannot confine it to certain declarations of doctrines. As the days go by, we see the progressive light of God. And if you were to compare your faith now with what you believed 10 years ago, you would find there's been a great expansion. So now what is 10 years more going to develop? What truths will it be necessary for us ourselves to accept from the Lord in the coming days? Imagine the man-child. What truth are you going to reveal? Is that company of people going to reveal? Or we fenced in and we won't be able to accept it. But consequently, beloved, he goes on, there's only one basis upon which the church of Jesus Christ can rest. That is upon Jesus Christ and the apostles and the whole body of truth as outlined in the New Testament. Then, beloved, in that great body of truth, there must be the accompanying largeness and spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, who didn't confine himself to certain little dogmatic teachings, but he laid the great broad principles on which the whole great kingdom of heaven rests, and upon which a great Christian life can rest eternally. There never was a teacher like Jesus. He was the one great mastermind who understood the spirit of the living God, who understood that all revelation of God was a progressive revelation, and thereby the minds that he must prepare by his own personal teaching were not able to receive all the great body of truth he had to reveal. So he said, "You are not able to bear it now." They had to grow up into the place in God where they were able to bear and analyze and utilize the greater truths of the Word of God. Now, beloved, we are in the place, just that same place. Bless God. Jesus Christ laid down the principles of eternal truth. Every man who accepts the principles, who lives the life, is acceptable to me. So, beloved, the Church of God, these latter days must just return to the blessed basis that the Lord Jesus Christ laid down. Beloved, the day has long gone past when men's consciences can be bound with certain little doctrines. If we were to take this audience today, of those who are living holy lives, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and not carefully what this brother believes and that brother believes, we would perhaps have 20 different statements before you get through with this little company. Don't you see, the thing is this, our hearts are one in the blood of Jesus Christ. Our hearts are one in the recognition of a common Spirit of God. Blessed be his name. Every one of us can join hands and hearts on the seven unities demanded and experienced in the church at Ephesus. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of you all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. So the dear Lord in these days is once again moving upon the hearts of men that the body of Jesus Christ shall be brought together in holy oneness, that the power of God may be poured upon her, that the Spirit of the living God may move through her in mighty power and demonstration, and that through her, the last message of this present age may be given to the world, the great kingdom message. Bless God. Now see, the blessed principles of the Lord Jesus Christ are the principles of unselfishness. That is the one crowning principle that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to lay down in his church this very day. Makes no difference how it's applied. The Lord Jesus Christ himself didn't undertake to tell us how to apply that principle. He left it to every man in his own station. But beloved, the demand upon us is that we live that blessed principle of the Lord Jesus Christ. My thought is this. Jesus himself didn't undertake to tell us dogmatically how to apply that principle. But he, on the other hand, laid down the principles and left it to us, his sovereign servants, to apply them just as the Spirit of the Lord illuminated our own hearts and told us to do. That is a great basis upon which the Lord Jesus Christ is founding his church. It's based on the principles of the Son of God. He doesn't ask us what we think about this or that petty doctrines, but he lays down the great principles of the kingdom as the essentials, and they are eight, and they are this. One, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And David's got a teaching about that, which I can post a link on, and it's brilliant. And I've summarized it here, but I don't have enough time. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And he's got a teaching on that as well, which is also very good. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the poor, pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Beloved, these are the things that God calls us back to today, to the original basis, to the foundation, Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. We see these blessed principles exemplified all through the New Testament by the apostles themselves, who as the fathers of the church were desirous that they should not even become a burden on the church, and endeavored to keep themselves from being a burden. With their own hands, in some instances, they labored that they might have the privilege of living and preaching the blessed gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you see, beloved, that every departure from the principles that the Lord Jesus has laid down has weakened the great fabric? Out of that condition has grown our divisions. All our departure from the principles of the Lord has robbed us of that vital faith that was necessary to get answers from God, even for our daily bread. A return to the principles of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the practical life of the Son of God, will bring again upon our souls the blessings of God. Beloved, that is the entrance into power. That's the final manner of testing the Spirit. The Spirit must ever be tested by the Word of God, by the principles of Jesus Christ, the law that He laid down by the commandment of Jesus. If the Spirit in you won't measure up with the principles that the Lord Jesus Christ laid down, be sure that it is not the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Spirit in you exalts itself, etc., just settle it. There is a Spirit there that isn't like the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. The way we can see what His Spirit was like is from the principles He laid down and the life He lived. I feel it this day that the Lord is going to pour a rich and wonderful blessing upon the saints when we come down and return to the blessed principles of the gospel of Jesus. If I were to advise you to do anything particular during the coming weeks, it would be this. Take the 5th, 6th, and 7th of Matthew, read them and reread them on your knees until the principles of Jesus Christ enter into your heart. Then bless God, there will be a good basis laid in your soul for the everlasting blessing of God. It is as impossible to get the internal working power of God to appear in a man's life or the life of the church until first the clearing away is done, the rubbish of petty doctrine and littleness is taken out of the way, as it would be to build a Chicago skyscraper without first taking out all the quicksand and mass of rotten stuff. It has got to come out. It has got to be cleared away. When the life goes down on the eternal rock, Jesus Christ, then the structure will come up and it will stand in the power of God. So this day I pray God that He will help us this day to take these blessed words of God, the declarations of Jesus Himself as He outlined them in the 5th, 6th, and 7th of Matthew especially, and get these real basic things settled in our soul. So my question is this fellowship, this coming together of believers, going to develop in God, or is it going to be like every other institution has been, or is it going to be placed on eternal foundations? Is our life going down into the bottom, to the bedrock, to the foundation stone of Christ Jesus, getting rid of all the rubble, all the mud? The example Isaac gave today, confessing so you can be healed, which is beautiful. The way, the truth, and the life, the word, and all the word. That is the end of John G. Lake's teaching there. I've run out of time. There's just a prayer left.
You can take a few more minutes if you need to, Rhea.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right. I'll be. That's what I wanted to.
No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead, brother.
I'll post this, but there's a teaching by David on what it means to be poor in spirit or mourning. And the reason I think the reason the Lord laid it on my heart so much is, and it's so apt, is because of what we are going through, of all these attacks we're going through, and you know, why is it happening? Or, well, I don't think we question that, but it's just a feeling that comes over it, and it's got to do with being poor in spirit or to mourn, but mourning not for the dead, right? Not being poor in spirit as in woe is me. And I'll read a couple of things or notes that I made on that. And then I would give homework. And that is obviously read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, but then listen to those two teachings from David. But Philippians 2, verse 5 to 7 says, have this mind in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So this is the mind that we must have in us. He existed in the form of God, right? That's huge, glorious, magnificent. But he counted not that being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped. He emptied himself. He took the form of a servant, and he was made in the likeness of men. Claire and I often talk about that. I mean, Jesus could have appeared. Imagine if you had to make an appearance to the world who didn't know that there was a king of the universe, and you wanted to make an appearance, and you say, I'm going to show them that there is an actual king of the universe, that my Father made everything through me. I'm going to arrive on earth, and I'm going to show them. How would that look like? You would think it would be not a baby in a manger, and then a child growing up, and then a humble man who was poor, who wasn't rich, rich in the things of the kingdom, but poor on earth, chose the lowliest of men, the weak, and then died a horrible death. But then rose and only appeared to a couple hundred people after that. It's very humbling. He sat down when he taught people. He sat amongst them. He washed their feet. Yes, poverty is listed as a curse in Deuteronomy 28. But willingly taking up a position of poverty like Jesus did in disciples, that is what we're called to do. Jesus was rich in things of the kingdom, but he's poor in the things of this world. He had no distractions. He took pleasure only in serving and being poor in spirit. If God, this is a quote from David, he says, if God was a prosperity-minded God, then he would have provided better for Jesus. But God wanted Jesus to be a servant, to be likened to humble people. David also says, people of today are still looking for an old king in places of authority, like in politics or rulers or church rulers. They do exercise worldly authority in their organizations. But notice, Jesus did not run around giving out commandments to people. God can even be grieved, right? He can mourn as well. He was grieved when he saw everything going on in Noah's days. All right, let me skip forward. I'm not going to go all of that. That's being poor in spirit. You know, it's about the difference between the attitudes of the rich and the poor. The expectation that a poor person has, someone who has got nothing, do they stand up for their rights, for instance? No, they are just looking, they're hungry for food and for water. That's the heart that we should have. And that's why he said, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. That's the number one foundation he wrote down there. There are so many promises about the poor in Psalms, which I can't go through now. Right, then I'll skip through and I'll go, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And I was reminded, and I read this actually by the Holy Spirit, about Ezekiel 5 onwards, about the man with the ink on. And just there was in all throughout Ezekiel 5 onwards, it talks about abomination and desolation. It's fascinating to read. And it refers, every single time, refers to Jerusalem, to the church at the time. All the old temples are already desolate due to past abominations. The current temple, which our bodies, has abominations within it as well that could make it desolate. So in the 6th year, the 6th month, 6 men came to slaughter the people of God who were worshiping a false Jesus. They were worshiping Tammuz, which is the false virgin birth of Babylon, Nimrod, their father. But there was a writer, there was one of them was that had the writer's ink on his side, which just represents Jesus and the man-child. And he was told to go and do the judgment at the house of God first. And he said, and this is what I want to talk about. I'll finish up with this and then I'll pray. Ezekiel 9 verse 4 says, you must go of the men, go and look and find the men that sigh and that cry over all the abominations that are done in the midst of Jerusalem. And I thought of that when I heard Franklin Graham last week or whenever, I don't know when he said it, but I found it this week, that he said Jesus would take the vaccine and we should all take the vaccine. He said he would have used it, he would have shared it, he would have promoted it. And I wanted to sigh and cry over the abominations. And if we think that we are talking too much about that here in the fellowship and we go on about it, no, it's not. Those are the people that get the mark of God. Because the men that sigh and cry of all the abominations, the man with the writer's ink on, he put a mark on their foreheads. And the other men went throughout Jerusalem and they killed every single person except the ones who had the mark of God. That's what it says. He said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, set a mark on their foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry of all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. We should be less concerned about the mark of the beast and more concerned about them getting the mark of God on our foreheads. We should be mourning our self-life. It's good. Mourn that self-life to say, for me, I shall just behold your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I wake with beholding your form. It is all we should be looking at. It must be grievous to us to not walk in the steps of Jesus. That's what we should mourn as well. If we are not being Christ-like, we have something to mourn. We should be grieved about anything in us that is contrary to the will of God. It should grieve us tremendously. Repentance is a type of grieving, mourning. It comes before faith. We shouldn't stay there very long, no. We can be grieved for other people's sins, but we should deal with our own, the beam in our eye first. Have you ever had anything in your eye, stuck in your eye? What happens when something gets stuck in your eye? Your eye starts to water. You start to cry. You start to mourn because you need to get it out. And the bigger it is, the more you cry. It's also good to weep for the things we are giving up, for being persecuted. Our grief is for our loved ones as well, just like Lot grieved in the seriousness. This is not me. This is a summary from David's teaching. And I'll post the link there when I'm done. I'd like to pray, if you don't mind. And this is the prayer that John G. Lake wrote at the end of it, and I've made a couple edits to it. Oh God, our Father, let our lives be once and forever and for all settled on the eternal rock, Christ Jesus. Lord God, where our lives shall stand, blessed be your name. And where the body of Christ shall stand, Lord God, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us, blessed be your name. Oh God, let that deep, true, holy, unselfish working of the Holy Spirit in our lives be so pure and true and real that, my God, there shall not be left a superficial thing within us, Lord, but that our character shall be opened up wide, opened to the living God, and wide open one to another. O God, reflecting, showing forth the real life of Jesus Christ, O God, we bless thee for this day. Lord God, there's an echo of gladness in our soul. There's a shout of praise in our hearts. Lord God, the day has come. Your appointed hour has come when you have already, really begun to call together into one body the body members of Jesus Christ, whose names are written in heaven. Lord God, we worship at your feet. And Lord, we declare our faith in you and the Son of God this very day. You are going to bring forth your people, Lord God, the church of Jesus Christ. Bless God. Who shall give forth to the world the message of the kingdom? We shall raise up a banner of truth, and demonstrate the righteousness that men of God will not have to be ashamed of. O God, we pray thee then that the great virtue of Jesus shall be so inwrought in us that, my God and Father, we shall look with love into the face of every other man. But, O God, our Father, we will have the eyes of Jesus in us and the heart of Jesus in us in such a way that we will not see things that are evil. But, oh God, we will see the good in the man. We will see the purity, Lord. We will think of the things that are lovely, Lord, and are true. Lord, we will be so pure and clean before God that the light of God and the life of God shall shine in us and flow through us so that mankind will be blessed. Oh God, our Father, we rejoice in this day. We rejoice in this hour. You are the Son of God, Jesus. And we are so glad, Father God, that you have let us live at this time of life. My God, we rejoice in the expectation of the soon coming of Jesus in your man-child body of reformers. Bless God. But, oh God, bless God, get us ready. Get us ready. Lord God, get us ready to give the message that's going to stir the world. Get us ready, Lord, to receive the power of God that's going to demonstrate Christ to mankind for Jesus' sake. Oh God, we pray that upon this fellowship and upon the true church at large, the hidden ones who are known by no name except the power of God, the power of, except Jesus, that the power of God shall come, Lord God, once again. Let the pulsating movement of the Holy Spirit be felt through the body of Christ. Father, draw your children together, Lord. O Lord, our God, establish them on the rock, your Son. Lord God, build up this body, we pray, Lord. Bless God, we pray that upon our own souls these days, there shall be such a passion of the Christ heart that we will seek the lost, we will seek the sick. My God, religious life, religious service shall forever cease to be a matter of religious entertainment. But, O Lord, make it what your heart desires. Religious service, serving our fellow men. O God, shedding your tears with the afflicted, putting your hands under the weary, lifting them up to God, praying for the stricken ones. And let me add, delivering from evil oppression, raising from the dead, operating in all the gifts of the Spirit and the power of the former rain anointing and the soon coming latter rain. Let the pure heart and Spirit of Christ, our Messiah, throb in every breast for Jesus' sake, that the will of God may come that the prayer of Jesus Christ may be answered, that we may all be one, Lord God, that your kingdom may come and your will be done in earth just like it is in heaven, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rion. That was good. We'll put that up on the top shelf with joy. Amen. All right, has anybody got any questions or any comments on what Rion has talked about this evening?
My apologies for going so far over. Well, I'm going to lots more wicked.
No, that's okay. Yeah. Yes, Pat.
Thank you, Rion. That was good. I was kind of struck there. I never seen that scripture there in Ezekiel where you said that he was in First Chronicles when it said that I tell thee that the Lord will build thee a house. I hadn't seen that before, but it's interesting that you started out with the building of the temple, and then just that point that, you know, that God gave the plan to man, and he was going to build it, and basically, I think all through history, God was thinking of a temple, but it wasn't the thing that was built with hands. And I think from what I'm looking at is he kind of let David's heart and whatever build that physical temple. But even in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if you read that, those passages in there, he kind of clarifies it. This, you know, thank you for this temple that you built, but this is the temple that I'm building, you know. And so I was kind of struck that you started out with that and of the significance of proper foundations. And so I take it from my perspective as in the construction is that our job as superintendents is to get a very full, complete, as much as possible picture of the final finished detail of the final plan. You always when you are looking at drawings, which is just the amalgamation of various little details of all the construction process, first thing you do is always go to the very finishes, to the roof, and you look at the details and follow them from the finishes, from the paint, the various different wall coverings and whatever, because you work from that finished detail back, all the way back and down to the beginning through the wall construction and then you get down to the foundations. And the importance and significance of following every detail that is in that drawing, because it's there for a reason. Well, let me clarify that. In this day and age of cutting and pasting details and other pressures, it could be a mistake. But in God's plan, every detail that he puts in there in the Word is absolutely essential for the finished product. And I'm going to say, just working with various different contractors, concrete people and drywall people and whatever, none of those people ever have a picture of the final full structure as it's going to be built. They have one thing on their mind: I pour concrete. This is what I do. I dig a hole and I pour concrete in it. And if there's something that doesn't look like typical, a conversation you always have with a contractor in the field is, well, this is the way we always do it. And of course, my response is, it doesn't matter if that's the way you've always done it. This is the way the engineer wants it done. This is the way we do it because that's the way the drawings are. And so we have to get, you know, I think it's the same way. We have, God wants us to focus on those details of his word because it's those details that come together only by his understanding of how they all fit together and to form the final package. And so I guess I was just kind of struck at that and the example you gave there of the building in Chicago and all the getting down to the foundations and everything. However, if God designed that building, it would have already been done at the beginning. They wouldn't have to had to go through years and years of, you know, suffering and toil and everything. So anyway, I just those points kind of hit me. I really appreciate it. So thank you.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else got a comment? Yeah, Andrew.
No, when he started talking about the temple, I just like finished today the book of Revelation, and in 21 and 22, it sort of mentions the sanctuary here. And I saw no sanctuary therein, for the Lord God the Almighty is the sanctuary thereof and the Lamb. And I put a little note off to the side. That's our resting place. And another note off to the other side. That's Psalm 91 and 1. And it just was so neat how it looked like that. You know, I actually went to Hebrews chapter 9 just to see what was in that holy place in that sanctuary. Because it describes the various items. I think it was the lamp and the showbread that was in there. So praise God. That's all I have to say.
Amen. Yeah, Isaac.
Hey, everybody. My voice is already sounding a lot better. thanks, Rion. I really appreciate that message. My family appreciates it. It's you know, we're really encouraged by the maturity here in this fellowship, and I really mean that. It's just so amazing, this body that God's creating here. You know, and I really believe, I'll say this, and I'll get off a little soapbox, but, you know, we see, man, I tell you, it's just me, but I believe it, 100-fold Christ in you guys. That's my belief, and I pray it for y'all, too. Thank you very much. You mentioned something, too, about the whole Franklin Graham, and, you know, this happened the last ministry. The Lord gave me a revelation and just hit me in the head. I was reading about Isaiah 53. I was reading about the character of Jesus. And I got to thinking about it. And as I was reading it, a whole other thought that I wasn't thinking about just smacked me. And I said, okay. And I got to thinking about it. And I was like, well, I'll wait for an opportunity. If there's an opportunity to talk about it, I'll mention it real quick. And you just did about how, and I don't want to get off the subject here, but basically, Franklin Graham said, if Jesus was here today, he would take the vaccine. Why proof? When Jesus was going to the cross, they gave him wine with gall in it. Now, gall was a sedative, okay? The Romans would give it to the people they were crucifying because it made the Romans' jobs easier. They didn't have to fight so much, or they didn't have to see the anguish of the people. Now, what might you call a sedative? Well, a sedative, you know, is to dull pain. This vaccine, the whole thing is that, not to go on this vaccine tangent, so I don't want to take anything away from you because I just felt like the perfect opportunity. You're right. You're 100% right, Rion. I'm with you, man. And it was, to lessen the effects, but you'll still get it. Listen, they didn't just ask Jesus, hey, you want to drink, old buddy, old pal? That's not what they did. They tried to force it on him. Okay. And he spit it out. He didn't take it. He didn't take the pharmakia. You see it now. whether it be your faith or somebody else's, I don't put that on anybody out there. But it's just, I'm with you. He wouldn't take this vaccine. And there is an example where he shot pharmakia in a sedated down, which was the gall. And I just wanted to bring that up. And I'm glad you brought the whole thing up. Thank you.
You know, Isaac, in the past, and this is what the Lord has really been working on, is why I'm, you know, searching out all these, you know, things about humility, I suppose, and being poor in spirit, is because that's not how I grew up, right? I grew up with my dad saying it's good to have righteous anger, and you must get angry at these things, you know, and we must stand up, and you know, just, and that's not, we must mourn, and we must be poor in spirit towards it. Not that we don't have power in the spirit, right? But that I read these things and I get, you know, in it or hear these things, and we get grieved, and that's good, because that grieving brings you on your knees. You cannot stand up tall and straight when you are poor in spirit, and when you are mournful about something, you fall on your knees and you cry out to God, and then start praying, and then start standing on the promises, and then standing up after that, no longer grieving, right? That's true.
Yeah, thank you, Rian. I appreciate it, brother.
Amen. Go ahead, Greg.
Thank you. Franklin was wrong. But look, I just have a question, Rian, and if the answer's, you know, a little lengthy, then, you know, send it to me privately or whatever. But you mentioned about the I'm going to say the seven things of Ephesus. I'm sure it was seven principles or seven spirits. And anyway, while you were going through that, I quickly looked at it and think, what is he talking about? So my question is this: can you refer me to stuff that you were referring to there? Not necessarily here and now, but and I'm not questioning it. I just like, well, where is that info?
Yeah, I'll share my notes with you, Greg. But that was not me. So you must talk to Mr. Lake.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes, of course. Yes. Right.
No. Are you referring to the one body, one faith, one baptism? Are you talking about that?
Yes. Yes. That's right. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll find it here for you.
Thank you.
All right. Go ahead, Benita.
Yeah, Rian. I just wanted to say how much I appreciated the part where you talked about, you know, they study the scriptures and they come up with a creed, I think you said, and then they build a fence around it and it's set. And you know, we're being, especially in this group, you know, there's just, as we grow in sanctification and we learn and he reveals more and more to us, we're just different every day as we grow and study the word, and we can't be in that fence. And I mean, things are going to happen that we just can't even imagine. And so I just really appreciated that part, just to keep our minds opened and just to let the Lord guide and not let what we've known in the past. I'm just like you. I grew up, and my mom, you know, my parents are like, oh, be proud of this. And, you know, you've got to, it's just a whole different level of consciousness almost than what Jesus teaches. And just to get out of all of that. So thank you for that. And just putting a picture of that in my head.
Yeah, Vanita, this is what's been going on the last 2 weeks, Claire and I. It's a very stern warning. Do not think that you have arrived at all. You know, like that there was very much a warning for me the moment Michael said, oh, we must all teach. You know, that's not the point, right? That's not why you said it. So that, oh, you all are, you know, ready to be teachers. Like, no, that's not the point. You know, it's the moment we think that we have arrived, that we have nothing more to learn, or we have achieved hundredfold fruit, you know, other than anything by faith, we're in big trouble, very, very big trouble. because that's when the enemy will come in with faction and divisions. And then when you realize that you stand on it and then you think that you have not, then the enemy will come with condemnation. And yeah, we only know in part. We must always remember that, I suppose.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Well, okay. That's a good night tonight. I know we have the victory. Praise the Lord. Because God's on the scene. We have an open heaven. And we know that the enemy has been defeated. Yeah, I was blessed as well. But Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for that message that Rion had to start our walk with you on the rock. Go all the way down and start with the rock. We praise you, Father, that you have us on the rock. And we're building that foundation. We're building that temple. You're building that temple. And we thank you for it, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that we declare from this point on no more attacks from the enemy. We thank you, Lord, that your angels are on the job. And we thank you, Lord, just like you told Angelica, that you've come up out of your throne and you're going to see about getting your people freed up from this. And we praise you for it, Father. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you, Lord, that everybody that needs healing has already gotten it. I can hear my voice coming back already, and I thank you for it, Father. Everybody else, too, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for everybody here that the blanket of red has covered them. In Jesus' name, the blanket that Claire saw. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask that you anoint Joel for next week. Get the word out that he's got. We praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We'll put him right up on the top shelf, too, because I know he's going to do a good job. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Y'all be blessed, you hear?